Well, what a blessing to be together this morning and to come to the point where we get to take the Lord's table together. To prepare our hearts, go ahead and have a seat. To prepare our hearts for communion this morning, I'd like to draw our attention to John chapter 1, verse 29. And if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there are going to be some men that are coming forward to hand out some Bibles. Just slip your hand up, and they'd love to put one in your hands. And if you don't own a Bible, consider this a gift. Keep it and take it home with you so you can have a copy of God's Word to read and enjoy and to grow in. If you're receiving one of those Bibles, you can turn to page 952 in those Bibles. We're going to look at John chapter 1, verse 29. Look at it with me. It says, "The next day, he," John the Baptist is who we're talking about here, "the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" This morning, before we take the bread and the cup, I want us to behold the Lamb of God and consider him the way John named him and called him and talked about him. In this scene, John the Baptist had been baptizing people. When the Jews came and asked him, "Who are you?" And John explained that by saying, "I'm the one here to prepare the way of the Lord coming, the Messiah coming." It's interesting how he does it. If you just back up to verse 23, you can see his answer. He said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.' As Isaiah the prophet said." I love the fact that John answers who he is and what he's doing by quoting scripture, quoting the prophet Isaiah 700 some years before John even existed. And it explains what he's doing. He's preparing the coming of the Lord, the Messiah. Then later in the verse that we're looking at, in verse 29, as he was baptizing, Jesus comes as he's baptizing, and John directs everyone's attention to him, and he doesn't say, "Look, there's Jesus." He draws attention to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John doesn't call him a great teacher. He doesn't call him a prophet. He calls him a lamb. Why does he call him a lamb? Well, clearly John's using a metaphor to describe something important about who Jesus is and what he's here to do. Some people at that time may have expected the Messiah, the king, to come as a big, great, conquering king. But evidently not John. Otherwise, he wouldn't have called him a lamb in this case. He would have said, "Behold, the lion." You know, it's not the first time he's been called the lion. But he didn't. He called him a lamb. So when John says a lamb, he's pointing to something Scripture had already painted 700 years before. He was actually probably thinking about the same prophet he just quoted. Isaiah had foretold the coming of the lamb that God would send to take away sin. In Isaiah 53, 6 through 7, he says, "All of us like sheep," Isaiah says, "have gone astray. All of us have turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him." And he describes him like this: like a lamb that is led to slaughter. He didn't open his mouth. Like a gentle, quiet, sacrificial lamb. This is what a lamb is for. It's a sacrifice. A sacrifice dies because of sin. John was a man steeped in Isaiah. Every Jew listening there knew what a lamb was for. So John says it plainly: this Jesus who's standing before you is the Lamb of God that Isaiah talked about. This is the man that came to be a sacrifice, came to be led to slaughter and die and to take away the sin of the world. Jesus is a sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Praise God. And that's why we celebrate. That's what we celebrate when we gather like this and we take the Lord's table. But before we do, consider something with me for a moment. By nature, by our nature, we don't really want our sin taken from us, do we? In our sinful nature that we were born with, we're actually drawn to sin and we actually desire to keep it. Think about it. A person who lies doesn't want to be called on it, doesn't want to have to tell the truth. A person who is prideful doesn't want to be humbled. A person who drinks to the point of drunkenness doesn't want you to take their drink. And if you do, they'll probably get angry with you. A person who lusts doesn't want to have to give up lustful thoughts or actions. This is just our nature. It's a difficult thing. Whatever the sin is, our heart craves it by nature. Left to ourselves, we don't want anyone reaching in to remove it. We get defensive, protective, angry when someone tries to take it. Have you seen this in yourself? Christians feel it. We have that mixed condition. We teach about that. We talk about that. It's an important thing to actually know about us. It's why we have to labor at godliness and pursuing the Lord. But this is the sin that is rebellion against a holy God who is just and who will justly punish all sin because we're guilty of it. And this is the offense that is so great, so significant, that if we were to bear the punishment of it for ourselves, we could never fully pay it. It's eternal judgment. And this is the very sin and our desire of it. That Jesus came as a sacrificial lamb that God sent to take our sin from us. That's glorious. While we were yet sinners, Romans 5 says, while we were still in our sin, Jesus, the Son of God, became a mortal man. He lived a perfect life and willingly gave himself up to die a gruesome death as a sacrifice for sin, to free you from that very sin that you are drawn to and that condemns you to an eternal punishment. This is true about all of us. The reason I bring it up here is that Jesus didn't just die to take the punishment of sin from you. It's important that as we take communion, we actually stop to think about the fact he came to take our sin from us so that we could repent, so that we could turn from sin, live a life pleasing to him, so that we could have Jesus' righteousness accounted to us and be at peace with God who judges sin. At its core, this is what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who by God's grace sees their sinful condition and wants it taken from them. Trusts Jesus for that payment and actually celebrates that he has and that he can. That's what brings us to the Lord's table. On the night before he died, Jesus took the bread and the cup and he instructed us to remember who he is and what he did. And in this way, he told us to do it until he comes and proclaim his death until he comes. That's what we do together. So when we take the bread and the cup, we are in essence remembering he is the Lamb of God who takes away sin, takes it from us. And we're celebrating that together as a church. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul asks us to examine ourselves every time we do this. He cautions us. He warns us not to participate in the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, but I want to be clear about what that means, that your worthiness to take the bread and the cup has nothing to do with whether or not you've been good enough to earn it. That's not what this is about. But we do want to participate in the Lord's table for the right reasons. First, the table is for Christians. These are people who have turned from their sin, and they trust Jesus to take it from them, and they celebrate that he actually has. If this is you, then this is your chance to partake and to have communion with the Lord, with each other. And take the moment, this moment, to examine yourself. If you have been holding on to sin and haven't wanted to turn from it, you must remember that that heart is a completely contrary heart to celebrating that the Lamb came to take my sin from me. Those are in contrast to each other. So if that's you, just take a moment. This is the time. In your heart, turn from that sin. Give it to the Lord. Celebrate that he will take it, that you are forgiven. Rejoice that 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a celebration. If you're here with us and you're not a Christian, if you don't want Jesus to come in and take your sin from you. Then this table is not for you. We are so thankful that you're here, and we want you to feel welcome here this morning with us. But when the elements come, we just ask that you'd let them pass by. But please hear me, this morning is the perfect time to talk to the Lord about your sin. He has given you the opportunity to turn from it and be made right with him. And he'll take your sin and the punishment of sin from you as far as the east is from the west. And I'd invite you to talk with me or the elders, the others in the church around you about that this morning before you leave. But church, this is our joy to remember our Savior like this together. And I'm going to ask the men to come and distribute the bread and the cup. I'm going to continue from over here. As they do that, I invite you to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Put your heart on him. Think on him. Behold him, as John asked. As the elements are being passed, we're going to sing together. You can stay seated, hold the elements when they come to you, and we'll sing, and then we will partake together.